First there's breakfast, then there's coffee. There's always some left for me. The light of the new day breaks through a window, kisses your forehead soft and slow. No worries can touch us once you lay here.
Do I say the name of the song?
If you'd like to, sure.
This one's called Placeholder.
People, what what you're not. Doing for yourself is like starting a fire and running. It still lingers in my love. How my heart it breaks for you, my love. Strong on your way in left lane, who'll carry you?
Songs.
This one's four songs?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And a partial cover of a Glen Campbell song, Gentle on My Mind.
By yellow house in the Garden of Eden, I'm on the front porch, you're on the porch swinging. And I'm drifting between future and future's past, cause everything's already happened, you say. Put your hand on the grass. Feel how everything grows and dies, and why don't you just tell me what's been on your mind? What's been on your mind? Sometimes I feel like a dirty old casket. There's someone inside me, but nobody's asking it anything at all, cause they can't bear the silence. They feel the beating of their own hearts as they look inside it, and you say, why don't I meet you about halfway in? I say, okay, while our patch is greener, why don't we just lay down here for a little while? I've traveled far to know you. Thank you. makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind a couch. It's knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiven when I walk along some railroad track and find you moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory. For hours you're just gentle on my mind.
This is River City Sounds, episode 64. I'm Cole Curry, and I am here with
Cole Roberts,
also known as
Over Underdog.
There we go. We got Cole C and Cole R. Unfortunately, Chloe could not be with us today. It's probably one of the most intimate episodes we have ever done, might ever do, unless it's just me or something. It's a cold-on-cold action here. So, first I'm going to ask you, Over-Underdog, what's the name come from?
I think I was just looking for a new band name, and I was just kind of flipping through my phone, because I'll often write just little one-off phrases, mm-hmm. and I wrote down...
As you do.
Over-Underdog in the notes, and I saw it, and I think I... was trying to put out a new song. So I was like, this is a good name for this song, I guess. And
is there any like relation to Overdog? Or is it Underdog?
Underdog.
Yeah. The superhero, you know what I'm talking about? The cartoon dog?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it is Underdog.
And no relation to that? It was just
no
kind of
relation
a one off thing.
No. Right. I guess I'd do like an underdog story.
But the over underdog, is that an underdog that wins, I assume, or is that a I don't know. We were watching Survivor a lot recently, so it's like you're the top, now you're the bottom, but you're the bottom, you're ruling the bottom. I don't know.
Like I guess it. What I'm thinking it came from, and it might not be true, and my memory may just be lying to me. One of the first good songs I think I ever wrote was many years ago, but it was called King of the Average.
Okay.
And I had come up with that because in high school I ran track.
Okay.
And they always put me in the slow heat for the mile instead of the faster heat.
Okay.
But I always won the slow heat, mm-hmm. but they never put me in the faster heat, so I had deemed myself King of the Average.
Okay.
And cool. I guess Over Underdog was a similar sentiment.
Yeah.
Whereas I always appreciate an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just a little bit over an underdog.
So, Koi Pond was your old project. Now you were Over Underdog.
I had started Koi Pond like immediately after college with my friend Tori Gamboa. And we were in a band in college together. But, you know, everyone goes their separate ways, but Tori and I did not. And we played together for 4 years on and off. And then, you know, pandemic times occurred and music just wasn't as much of a priority in a band sense because so much of it was being spent alone.
Yeah.
And I guess we just started jamming with different people, and I've always kind of been on a solo, just like recording myself.
No, I understand that for sure.
But Tori has played on at least four or five of the Over Underdog songs
that
have come out.
The bass player for
Crystal Flowers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just making sure, thinking of the same person. Okay, because I definitely saw. I think it was the Rosewood recording session with Koi Pond, and I did see her playing bass there. So do you you were bringing a drummer initially? So do you usually play with other people? Is it mostly a solo project when you play out, you say?
I don't know. I just am really, I'm really bad at organizing people together because it's already stressful enough to get myself to practice and get shit together and book shows and and then have a chaotic schedule on with recording people or whatever. That's just a little too much. And then if I also had to then teach people chords and notes and
like this is how we're playing this.
It's like I just have no, I can't, I have no more input or output. So it's just like a drummer, I don't have to explain anything. They just play off of me. Mm-hmm. And my favorite band in the world is a band called Frog, and they're from New York.
I've never heard of Frog.
They're very, very good. They just got signed, I think. It's just a dude who's like in his mid-30s, and their Instagram is his twin kids that he had during the pandemic.
It's
very wholesome. But he, I think, played with his brother for the first two records. And whenever they play live, the records are like very full and lots of layers, but live it's just guitar and drums.
Okay. So do you want to talk about some of the genre and influences you think for this project? Because you seem like you don't staple yourself down as one thing. Is there a particular band you think is a big inspiration for this? Because I, honestly, Beach Boys is what I heard a lot of.
Yeah, definitely in there. I listened to them a ton. Sunflower was my favorite record
for really?
A long time. Yeah. I think that has like one of the first shoegaze songs, and I can't remember the name of anything, but it was the All I Want, I think.
So it's called Sunflower.
All I wanna do. That's like, I don't know, very shoegazy song. So
I'll definitely have to listen, look into that, because I mean, I'm, you know, big fan of 1970. That makes sense. Sunflower. Because I'm a big fan of the ultimate remix of Smile, and like I have my own fucking version of Smile that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah. I think that one. That one's like the best average of all the mid. Beach Boys career music.
Okay, interesting.
And it's super well recorded, I think, personally. A lot of influence. Maximalist, like layers upon layers of shit.
Okay.
And I just love that stuff.
But what are some other influences you would have besides them?
Ooh.
Maybe more specifically for this project that you're writing for.
Well, Frog for sure. Lately I've been listening to My Chemical Romance a lot. I like George Michael.
Okay.
The Sundays.
I've not heard of the Sundays.
The Sundays is a band from like 1990, and their record, Reading, Writing, and Arithmetic, is probably one of my favorite records as well.
Okay.
It's one I've put on, and I haven't gotten bored of it yet, hundreds of times.
Can you name another album that you think would be one of those albums that you can never get sick with?
This album I can never get sick of? No.
No?
I think that's why this one has stood out.
Okay, interesting.
Because for whatever, it's like the right between like easy listening and rock, so it's both hype and chill at the same time.
Interesting. So. I don't know, I have so many favorite albums that are like, but this one's the best, but this one's the best. Just like a full set of albums, because I'm really obsessed with, maybe like you are, like having a full cohesive album. And also, you know, like the Beatles said, and when they make like Revolver, Rubber Soul, it's like everyone's a hit. You know what I mean? You don't have any like lulls in the albums or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it, I don't know, the style changes, it's still, you know, everything's happening.
And I think that's something I try to keep in mind. Because everything is always sort of changing in the music world, and feel I'm always trying to listen to new stuff and follow along with it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I try not. I was like a big 60s kid when I first started recording.
Yeah, same.
And that like pretty much dominated all my sounds. But now I just kind of like, I like Arca and a lot of hip-hop stuff that I didn't then. Feel I've been bringing in like beats to songs and using auto-tune for indie stuff. That's been pretty influential.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your releases? I'm going to assume that it's all mixed, mastered, recorded by you with
Lately Rosewood. I've been having a friend, John Trainum.
Okay.
He records everybody. He records somebody else I play with, Katie Lawston.
Mm-hmm.
He did Kate Bollinger stuff. He works out of a studio in White Star and out of his house, but
okay.
Love the boy. Very and nice. He can record some damn good sounding drums.
Very nice.
So, but I usually mix and record everything else.
Okay. So you record drums with him?
I have been.
Okay.
Because for the Muse song, I wanted to go to a real studio. Yeah. To use a real piano that was in tune.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And when we were there, I had a show the following day, and me and the drummer who's been playing with me live, Dane, we were just practicing for the following show, but also recording it. So I just used some of those practice drums.
That's a good use of that.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. But, I mean, I was talking with Zach, and that was one thing. He was like, I don't have, like, room to record a drum set for stuff. It's like I have like the capabilities for everything, but I don't have like the room or drum sets to like record it, you know what I mean? And I know like, yeah, I have the room for it, but like these mics aren't great for recording a drum
exactly.
set.
Exactly. Drums are the most important part of a song to me. Like the quality of the drum dictates the quality of everything else.
Yeah, we were talking about that, I think, last interview about how it was some Foo Fighters song. I was watching them live at Wembley, and like Taylor Hawkins changes up the beat for like literally a couple bars, but it sounds like a disco beat all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's like the whole song completely changes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can definitely be completely instrumental to how the whole song turns out.
Mm-hmm.
So you record everything else besides drums? You mix, you master that for the most part?
I do mix. I master, lately I've been mastering more. I used to have somebody from Harrisonburg named Danny Gibney. Mm-hmm. Do stuff. He's been doing like illiterate light stuff, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's probably one of the reasons I got into audio engineering. I remember going to his house when I was first getting into it, and he had all the microphones and all the rat gear, and I was like, I don't know how any of this shit works, but getting there. But what was your question? I strayed.
No, it's okay. That was a good. I had another question for you, and it's okay if you don't want to answer this because it might be a little convoluted. But
sure,
could you explain to someone who might be listening to this what mastering does and what the process is to do that? Because that sometimes I remember me and my drummer were like talking about how we're gonna do it, and all of a sudden I said something about, so we're gonna master it, and he goes, I was gonna ask you, do you know what that does? I'm like, I thought you knew what that does. So I mean, even some of my. And even Zach and me, when we were talking about the George Martin episode, we're like, it makes it crisper and clearer, but like.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to go to any
it's okay.
detailed specifics because I'll seem like a fool.
No, I understand because sure. that was the kind of the question was to make it
yeah.
An edible piece of information for someone who doesn't necessarily know.
At the base of it is just to make something louder.
Okay.
But the next level of it is getting another set. You should be getting another set of ears for more objectivity.
Yeah.
Because whoever's mixing it, when they listen back to it to master it,
mm-hmm.
they're hearing it, like how they mixed it. Yeah. So they might be trying to adjust for like things instead yeah. of just the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it kind of adds like one more like brush of color,
yeah.
one more stroke, glues it all in place. And then also to set for streaming platforms have a lot of different yes. requirements. So you have to master for those specific requirements.
Yes. So I have two examples I was going to run off you and see if it kind of makes sense. Like, it's kind of like the final overall mix almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you mix the mix.
Yes. And on top of that, Drink, Smoke, and Swear Like a Sailor, Pirate, whatever the hell we released. Mastering was a big part of that one because of how I recorded the bass.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded it direct in. And I didn't notice until I played it in the car where I was like, wow, that bass is way too fucking loud. And it mm-hmm. wasn't until I was able to get it mastered that the bass finally settled into the mix
right.
where it was properly supposed to be. Do you think mm-hmm. that'd be a good example of what mastering might do?
That's something you can do for mastering, but that would be, you don't really want to, you want to detract less. So if you have to end up pulling a lot of stuff out, then that's more of like a mix place.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the master at the best mastering is you don't have to do anything but,
yeah.
but make it louder. You know yeah. what I mean?
That's fair. I mean, I definitely did do more mixing before I went to master it, obviously. But
yeah,
it,
yeah.
That was one of the key elements that make that final.
Yeah. And
back
yeah,
into it.
You always need a lot less bass than you think. And yeah. a lot of mastering for stuff involves yanking out a
yeah.
lot of bass.
I mean, I consider myself a bass player. And, you know, my music partner, he, you know, is also another bass heavy musician as well. Mm-hmm. So we're both just like, turn that fucking shit up. We listen to like, you know, like reggae dub music, like Yellow Man
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff, where it's just like, turn the highs all the way up, turn the bass all the way up, and the middle is just in the middle. And
yeah,
it's just like, what the fuck is going on?
yeah.
No, I remember I put on one of his records I got, and it was just mixed so strangely. I was like, is my mix wrong? Like, no, this is how
right.
this album sounds, man. And going off a little bit of tangent, but I do appreciate you answering that question for us. You might have
yeah.
been helpful during the George Martin episode. So, your Richmond origin story. How long have you been here?
I was born in Enrico.
In Enrico, okay.
But I left there before I could make memories.
Okay.
So, but I'm from Roanoke.
Okay. And then you, I guess, moved more closer into Richmond for the music
yeah.
scene or for schooling of both a little bit?
I went to JMU.
Okay.
And I graduated with a degree in biology.
Okay.
And then my last semester, I decided I wanted to record. So I tried moving to Richmond briefly and unsuccessfully. And then I went back to Harrisonburg. Then I went home. And then I got a job at King's Dominion.
Okay.
And I lived at King's Dominion for a few months, and that was my first sound tech.
Lived inside the park?
Yeah, they have like a little...
Oh, like legitimately, I was joking. Okay.
No, I didn't live inside the park, but to a little bit ways away from
okay.
the park, they have like a hotel
okay.
situation for interns, and you can stay there for like, I don't remember, it was either like $150 a month or something
That's
like that.
That's not bad at all.
No, I was like, well,
yeah.
that was better than living at home. I was living at home and working at like a pet food store. There were no
yeah.
pets, and it was $8 an hour. So
yeah,
I was like,
Jesus.
I'm going to go live at King's
sure.
Dominion.
No, I thought you meant like living inside the park, like, you know, you're sleeping on the fucking
rides
or some
no.
shit. Just, you know,
no,
gooning
no.
it, what have you.
And then from there, I knew some people from the Harrisonburg music scene. That lived here, and I would come and visit them from King's Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And then my King's Dominion was seasonal.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I need a place to live. I know y'all, and we should live together. And
what year do you think that was when you actually like settled in Richmond there?
It's 2018.
Okay.
December of 2018 when I
okay.
moved into Rosewood.
Okay. Oh, so you've been there the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. You are basically, I consider you like our River City Sounds alum, basically. In a way, you know, you've only been on a couple episodes and
episodes 7, 8, and 9
is something like
I
that.
I remember
yeah.
them. It was 9, Alfred, and And I said I remembered them, and then I forgot. Colin Phils.
Colin Phils, yeah. I mean, all those first season episodes, I really remember very well, just all being... Because they were bands always had to, like, go out and go grab and ask to be on. Not to say that the bands who asked to be on aren't good, because they're fucking great as well. I've been so surprised with, like, every single artist who's been on here, how great they are. But we parted ways after that. And do you want to tell us a little bit about your story of how you decided to create Rosewood Recordings and how we got there and what we're doing?
I'll try to be brief.
Okay.
Everyone who lives at Rosewood, Kevin, well, currently, Kevin, Tristan, Grant, and Brendan, all are JMU alumni as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant, one day, he's a OG Rosewood member, wanted to do, like, a live video series on our porch.
Now, may I stop you real quick? Grant is...
Grant Tolber plays bass in Hotspit.
Okay, I was going to say bass for Hotspit or and bass for Lake Anna?
His twin brother. His twin brother.
Yes.
His name's Harris. He lives. Yes. They also play in a band together called Mazarine.
I didn't know that.
Which is a really good band.
I don't think if they did, I've zoned out.
It's a new thing. They just started up again. And I've been helping them record a bit, but...
And yes, what did he say?
Oh, he was like, we should do... porch recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already recording myself for Koi Pond. Mm-hmm. And I think I had recorded a couple other bands, or maybe just one other band. Oh yeah, and I recorded,
yeah, you recorded with us a little bit too, so we had a little
bit. And then I don't know, I guess we just named it Rosewood because that's the name of the street we live on, and it was the easiest at the time, and I just kept recording people. And we kept doing porch stuff, and I really just got into recording because I wanted to be better for recording myself.
I definitely understand that as well.
Yeah.
That was kind of some of the things also, like, I want to get recording as many different projects as I can, you know what I mean, for free as well. That's the other thing is, I remember a lot of people were always like, you should get videos. Like, I wish we could too. Do you want to do it for free? Do you want to have a second job that doesn't pay you?
Right.
Like, we're doing this, try to do this every week.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. But now it's getting to a place, I wasn't expecting it, where people do want to record with me and willing to pay. And that's very nice privilege to have. And one I never saw myself having, because I just wanted to make a good record for myself at the end of the day.
So you're still doing the... the porch sets.
It's kind of on and off right now.
And then you are also doing Rosewood Recordings as, like, an actual studio where you're producing and putting out records as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're recording drums and everything there as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And is that just you, or does Grant, right?
Grant does not do the recording stuff.
Okay.
I've had some help with a wallpaper record from my other roommate, Tristan O'Shea.
Mm-hmm.
He has a project called Trist the Compiler. It's very good. And he's also a sound tech, live sound tech around town. So I had him help me with wallpaper record, and he's mixing it too. And he's going to be mastering some songs. So it had been me for a while, but lately Tristan's been helping me, and it's been very appreciative.
Stoke.
Because he's a very smart cookie, I'll tell you.
I was kind of under the idea that Grant was like, it was like you two in the whole thing. Okay.
Grant does the porch stuff.
Okay.
I record it, but he does the...
Yeah. Like
he does the video recording and edits it.
Okay,
and then I mix and...
Very nice.
And then
I can snag his ass. you have recently become a sound tech around town. Is that correct? So do you want to...
I have been for like 4 years.
For like 4 years now. Okay, I thought that was more of a recent thing.
Mm-mm. Okay. I stopped because of the pandemic.
Okay. So where are some of the places you do sound tech the most? Live sound, that is.
I did Mainline for a while.
Okay.
Brambley Park for a while. Been doing it at River City Roll.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Broadberry last night.
Cool. Got your foot in the door there. Maybe you can do some more there, like we were talking about earlier.
Hopefully. And then just wherever else, really. It's hard to keep track. There's so many places.
So if someone wanted you to do sound, they could just hit you up on Underdog?
No.
No?
I guess so. But no one ever hits me up for that on there. Oh, Get Tight Lounge. That's not
Get Tight Lounge.
Yeah, that's a newer place.
I've never
it's
heard
on
of
Carey Street, Main Street, cool. Main, across the street from the 7-Eleven.
Gotcha.
What was your question again?
I think you answered it for me.
Sure.
So, in honor of Chloe, we're going to do some Chloe's questions. Should be a pretty easy one because it's just you. What's your zodiac sign?
Libra.
Okay. Yeah, we should know your birthday was just the other day,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And today is John Lennon's birthday.
Yes, it is, the day that we are recording. Speaking of music, maybe movies, do you have like a guilty pleasure that you might not want out there, but it's kind of like one of those fucking love share, or like, God damn it, I love Def Leppard, or something like that?
No, I was going to say My Chemical Romance, but I already shared that earlier.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people's guilty pleasure that it can't really be
Three
that guilty anymore.
Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge is currently loaded in my CD player
in
my car.
One last one I'm going to ask you here is, what are you currently watching?
TV-wise?
Yeah. And movie-wise, anything you're into? We're watching horror series right now. We're doing the new Halloween. No? You don't like the Halloween?
No, I hate it.
Really?
Okay, I liked the first one. I guess that was a guilty pleasure, because I hated it. I loathed it while I was watching it, but the post-experience was like, okay. But the second one...
Halloween Kills? No,
brutal.
It was very brutal. Yes, it was.
I'm not a big...
I just saw that last night, honestly. So yeah, that was very brutal.
Yeah, I like scary... I like body horror.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you but like the stabbies, I don't do well with the stabbing.
You like David Cronenberg kind of stuff?
Yeah,
Videodrome. I haven't seen one yet. I actually just got into it because of the new movie that came out. I was going to ask you, did you see the new Crimes Against the Future?
Mm-mm.
It was fairly good. I don't know, it's about human evolution more than anything. It was really cool.
I like David Cronenberg. I really like what's his name? He was part of Monty Python, Terry Gilliam.
Oh, yeah?
He was the animator. He went on to make a bunch of movies that I really like.
I don't know. Dude, he does so many things. Cary Grant,
yeah,
a lot
brilliant.
Of people are the people that you don't know who are in like just the little backgrounds of things or write stuff. He's great. I like all those fucking people, Monty Python
what
people are.
It? He did The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, Brazil.
Yeah.
12 Monkeys.
He did 12 Monkeys?
Yeah.
Are you fucking... Okay, I believe you. I'm going to believe you because I've learned recently to stop questioning things.
Well, you should watch Brazil.
Brazil.
Brazil. If you like 12 Monkeys, watch Brazil.
Okay, dope. Thanks for the recommendations.
And Akira Kurosawa.
Say that one more time.
Akira Kurosawa. He's a Japanese director.
Okay.
He's one of my favorites.
Okay, I'll check him out. Any movies that we might know of or
Seven Samurai.
Okay, dope.
Yeah, but my favorite is one called Throne of Blood.
Okay.
It's a good one. I don't know if this is going to be inserted or
recommendations
at you.
Yeah, recommendations you get in sometimes.
I told somebody this last night, too. Watch Throne of Blood.
Throne of Blood. Okay.
It's based on Macbeth.
Which one do you know? Oh, you said Macbeth. Fuck, what the fuck am I asking?
The Shakespeare
I didn't
one.
See, I thought I heard Shakespeare. I didn't hear Macbeth. I heard Shakespeare.
You're right.
That's why I was like, which one?
Which one? Fucking no, I knew. I knew what you meant.
So, what do you have planned for this project, either throughout the rest of this year or what you want to get done next year?
Really, my only goal is, for this project, is I just want to record a record that I'm happy with. And, yeah, I didn't really care for the other aspects of it. I just want to make a really good record. I don't really like performing too much.
Okay.
I know that's all part of it.
No, I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
Everyone wants just to be like, fuck, I wish I could just be like the Beatles in 67. Just like,
yeah.
Just recording and everyone loves it. You know,
exactly.
They don't have to fucking tour. None of that bullshit. Yeah. I totally understand that for sure. Yeah.
So I'm, but I think with this project is a good thing to have for myself while I'm recording other people too. Because I need my own outlet.
No, I definitely understand that. But do you have any upcoming shows? Maybe not ones you're playing, but something else you want to shout out that you're doing sometime recently?
Up and coming on... I don't know when this is
probably
coming
like
out.
We'll try to get out a
week.
Well,
I'm doing something on Thursday, but we'll never know.
We won't. Can you tell us about what you did?
Oh, yeah. I will have played at Meadow Street.
Okay.
Which is on a house that belongs to Matt Lisk, and it's on the corner of Walker Street and Meadow.
Okay.
And maybe once a month or twice a month, depending on the seasons.
Is that the one that's outside?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I know what you're talking about.
There's a front porch people are playing.
Okay.
Other stuff, I have a couple shows at the end of the month.
Do you know where at?
One's in Harrisonburg.
Okay. But we could probably find that on your Instagram.
Harrisonburg, right? At Crayola.
Oh, you got Crayola? Hell yeah, bro. Congratulations. Crayola's badass.
Oh, yeah. I played there before. I'm from Harrisonburg.
Oh, yes, of course.
I want to
put this back out there because I cut it out the last episode. You know about the Refused?
Mm-mm.
Can I scream? Okay, never mind. I want to start a rumor that because they played their last house show where they finally disbanded.
At Crayola?
I think it's Crayola because it says a basement house show in Harrisonburg.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Crayola to me.
Yeah, I just want to start that only one. That's really the only one remaining that I remember.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Because there is a video, but it's like behind the drummer and the bass player. And you can kind of barely see it. It's so fucking crowded.
Is there a lot of spray paint on the walls?
You can't tell. You see a beam and you see the bass player and you just see people. It's really
sounds
hard.
Sounds like Crayola.
But yeah, the cops came in, broke it up, and they were like, I'm sick of this tour, I'm sick of being in this band, you want to call it quits? Alright, and they sing, Rather Be Dead. Rather Be Dead.
And they just quit?
They just quit.
That's sick.
Yeah, and they actually did the music for, Cyberpunk 77.
Okay.
They are Samurai, so you can actually get those, like, five songs, you can find it on, like, whoa, YouTube. And that's Refused. They've rejoined and they've been doing some stuff recently.
They're back again?
I think they have like two more albums. I haven't invested, but
okay, I'll check them out.
Shape of the
Refused.
The Shape of Punk to Come. I put it up on like one of my stories one time on River City Sounds. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you haven't listened to this, this is your homework. If you're in a hardcore band, like, you should know Can I Scream? We lack the motion to dance to the new beat. There you go. It's been a real pleasure talking to you and having you over.
Yes, Cole.
Appreciate it, Cole. This was River City Sounds, episode 64, with Over Underdog. I'm Cole C.
And I'm Cole R.
Hell yeah. And please like, follow us, and subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, apparently the superior listening platform, Anchor, Spotify, wherever the hell you listen to us, please follow us and give us 5 stars. But yeah, if you follow us on those platforms, you'll be able to listen to episodes as they come out. So, yeah.
This song's called Lift Me Out. Fall into black, lift me out.
not fall into blood. Lift me out. If I know what's best, I'll fall in before myself. Should I fall into black? Lift me out. If I know what's best, I'll fall in before myself. For myself.
Oldie but a goodie.
Searching for strength when there's none left to be found. Building a history, a burden to a slippery memory. Foundation for love fading. As I wonder, everything that grows new only holds perfection for a moment. While your touch is electric, while I can still animate my body, would you come close to me? Damn this moment still, my thoughts rushing like a river, wanting never to see love fading. As I become familiar, every line been traced by your finger. Counted out of the imperfection. Connected all the constellations in my skin. How far hearts have gone and been to seek a love remaining.
Thank you.
it's so strange. You've gone there and back again, still the same. There's the tree I use to climb.
Yeah, this is just called Crush. It's out everywhere now. Now. I say, I think our love could be sweet and cool like ice cream. Don't you think that I'm not trying to hurt no friendships? I'm crushing and I'm guessing it's stressing you out. You started at the wrong time.